and it's side two, December the 5th, 1983, of Mae Brussel on KAZU FM in Pacific Grove. Now, Ted Gandolfo was another researcher who was calling radio stations, writing articles, wanted to help the House Select Committee on Assassinations. In 1978, he thought he was going to get a piece of that ad that was run by Larry Flynt. And I've mentioned this before, but it's very important, building up again to what happened to Larry. All of a sudden, he has two visitors at his house, and he then begins the Thorazine, the Prolaxin treatment, the mental hospitals, the shivers, the shakes, I can't remember. And about 4 years later, he comes out like Rip Van Winkle. You know, what's new? What's new, Ted? You know, I've been on the air 13 years. What's new? I don't know what's new, but he took something or ingested something, and now he's somewhat active again, except he puts on a show on the anniversary of Kennedy's death and invites the same people who are with him when he's zonked out. So you tell me what's new. Nothing's new. He hasn't learned anything. Stephanie Caruana came to my house and did an article about me for Playgirl, and then I did one for Playgirl on Howard Hughes. Is Howard Hughes dead and buried off a Greek island? And because I wouldn't let Stephanie stand around the house or bug me or intrude into my personal life, she said, you never can be published at Playgirl again. I was blackballed for all time. The package of selling an article to Playgirl is that I had to put up with Stephanie Caruana's paws trying to intrude into my private life. And 1 month of that, not even that, just saying, get out and mind your own business. I'll write and publish, but I don't need anyone around intruding. And that's what she was doing. So therefore, because I wouldn't allow her into my home and around the place, I was blackballed from Playgirl any other time from writing. I called them a couple of times. We were supposed to do one story a month. I said, you mean if I don't work with her and she isn't here at my house, I can't publish? They said, that's right. Either take her or nothing at all. Now, Manuel Zazina made a movie about Howard Hughes, and then he read the article and Playgirl heard about my research. We filmed one segment of it. I played the researcher. Broderick Crawford was in it, and we had some important documents. That film was chopped up by, he says, the Summa Corporation, and never allowed to be filmed. He wanted to take it to the Cannes Film Festival. We redid the film, and as a result, he was kicked out of the country. He was from Nicaragua, and he was kicked out of the country, and the film never came out. It's not very healthy to be working with me. The only person who came out ahead was Terry Moore, but when I went down with her to ghostwrite, I met Terry through Manuel Zazina, and I helped to ghostwrite a book on the life of Terry Moore. And as soon as I had worked there and thought it was a good book and an honest book and something new, a lot of experiences, then a woman named Marge moved in the house with her husband, and they brought in their trailers and their guns and their machine guns and their M16s or whatever you have. I never walked into such a place, and with the scissors, they chopped up everything that Terry and I wrote. And then a partner, a friend of Ronald Reagan's son, who's now in court, put up this phony romance for Terry Moore, got her sign her house over for some $200,000. He was going to pick up with that money some money in Switzerland. Then he offs with the money, and she lost her house and went through hell. She survived and did get a settlement on the Howard Hughes estate, but she lost the family pictures, the silver, the jewelry, the heirlooms, and the book was completely chopped up. Then she met a fellow named Jerry, who's really nice, who loves Terry, takes care of her, and protects her, so she's okay. And then I met Larry Flynt, and he says, hey, you know, I like the article. I like your research. I want you to work with me and for me. I'll give you so much a week. And what he gave me, what I earn a week, is supposed to be to use my 20 years research. Anything he wants, call. Anything they want at Rebel, call. Use the files, use the research. What they're using is not only one article every other week or every week. It was to be used the amount of material, like if there's a Nobel, if there's a Bond, if there's a Word Bell. But the team around him don't call. I should have sent them all copies of the book Spooks or Fensterwald's book on the Kennedy assassination, the conspiracy, or the one on the conspiracies. And I should send his guards these books to read before they let people in the house, Coincidence or Conspiracy by Bernard Fensterwald. So what happens in the time that he meets me, he's gung-ho, he can't learn enough about Fritz Kramer. Henry Kissinger. He's talking on the radio about it. He's talking about Larry McDonald, the Los Angeles Police Department. So in comes the team. And among other people, as I say, is G. Gordon Liddy. Now, there's a picture of him in the new Hustler at Larry Flynt's house as part of the party. So you keep adding the team. Who's left besides William Colby and E. Howard Hunt? So the team moved fast, and all of a sudden he becomes suicidal, and he wants to die out of an airplane, which is a symptom of the MK Ultra. He spends $25 million cash on something that's totally worthless that he can't use for any purposes, and it breaks him financially so that he has no money. He is financially broke and can't get loans because of it. He's draped with flag by going to court with Mitchell Werbel. You notice who loaned his Purple Heart and who gets the rap in federal prison. It's Larry Flynt. I asked the people that work down there this weekend, well, who flies him? If you say, take me to Alaska, they say, no, you're supposed to be in L.A. Are there no controls? They say, no, we'll be fired. Well, everyone wants their job, so nobody says no. I'm the only one that can say what's going on because I can't be fired. I don't care if I'm fired. In fact, I was going to call it quits this weekend and not work for him anymore, because how can you have an article in Rebel, a contradiction in Rebel of calling G. Gordon Liddy to write that Castro killed Kennedy, or Timothy Leary, who's the father of the MK Ultra drugs that this guy has obviously taken. Now we get to the subject also of drugs. Somebody was down there this weekend and talked about passing around these little pills. I might have mentioned, I don't remember if I mentioned on the air or not to you, the package of the little algae that he gave me. It's packaged in Oregon, and you're supposed to take drops and pills, and I might have mentioned it or I might not have, and it's a very fine little package put out by somebody in Oregon. I don't take it. When he called me and said, have you taken these? I said, who's going crazy, you or me? And now that he's totally crazy, I'm thinking, I told the people down there, I'm thinking of sending it to a lab to be processed, the bottle of stuff and the pills which I kept, because now I learned they were made by the Klan down in Atlanta, Georgia, and then sent, this is what I was told, and then sent up to Oregon, so they're not associated with the Klan and the people down in Atlanta. Well, you know, the Atlanta Health Service there, the great center for disease control, can spread more diseases than there you can imagine and wipe out this country if it opened up a few vials. But can you imagine Mae Brussel, the researcher, talking to you on the air for 13 years and writing articles, and all of a sudden they're disseminating at Larry Flynt's house these packages, and I'm supposed to take his pills? I could easily not be here at all, or be totally crazy, or drive off a road and not know what I'm doing. I don't know what's in those things, but I have a rule of thumb that I don't ingest any of that junk. And I peel my oranges or peel my bananas and eat my apples with the skin on and my carrots with the skin on, and I don't take packaged or pre-frozen or any of that kind of junk that's out there. I don't like it, and it's not healthy, and nobody is going to give me that. And he's been showing me how cute he was. He put the dropper, put his head back, and takes the dropper and takes his stuff. Well, look who's in the straitjacket now. Look who was taken to a jail like a criminal, you know, against the wall. Now, when he was going to the Supreme Court, Sherman Skolnick, who's a great researcher, called me and wanted to help him and had information about Judge Shapiro, who was assigned to Larry's case. And I called Jim Good in L.A. at Rebel and told Larry about it. Well, they don't follow up. He goes back to the court, and I said, print these brochures and remind them of the links of Judge Shapiro to various entangling circlements in Washington and Chicago, and say, here's your judge, investigate him yourself. This is what you want. Just like giving back the pills, you give back the judge. But nobody's protecting him. His mind is gone, and he's not clear. So he ends up at a 2 o'clock arraignment, and he is scared, really scared. And he remembers Skolnick, and then Skolnick, in a wheelchair, he's had polio since he was a kid, rolls down at 2 in the morning in Chicago and tries to help Larry Flynt. And I was going to quit the whole thing, and Skolnick says, look, the guy needs you. You can't back out now. He got out the Rebel. He got the article out. And one of two things are happening. Either they're going to kill him, and they've drugged him, like you said, so you can't leave him at this time. When people are suffering, which he obviously is doing, you try to help them. Now, I can't clean out that mess down there. I was going to go down by myself a one-man army and clean the damn place out. Darn place out. I don't know what you can use on the air these days. Clean it out. But I don't know how much you can do. It takes a professional person to prescribe something for them, and I'm not a drug person, for like 72-hour hold, and then clean all those other people out of the house. Now, I can't take on the whole Defense Department or the CIA, obviously, and I can only make suggestions, so I may as well make them in Carmel. But this man is suffering, and they'll take him all over the place. The pilots will fly him all over the place, and it's very, very sad. Now, several weeks ago, I mentioned the ad in the paper that he ran in 1978 and he ran again in 1983. Help bring JFK killers to justice, a $1 million reward, and you would meet Mark Lane, Dick Gregory, Robert Groden, and so forth. And this was the early ad, and then he ran one again just before Rebel came out. Well, let me tell you, I promised or was asked not to mention who was there at the time. Somebody appeared at Larry Flynt's home this week, thinking that they could partake of this great award, having some experience in knowing people that this party thought were involved in one of the assassinations that was mentioned. And sitting in the room with Larry Flynt is G. Gordon Liddy. Now, we're talking about the Nazis and we're talking about the Klan. So either this is a double game of some kind, and I can't really believe it is, because he stood by the Larry McDonald story 100%, and you can get it. It's out now in Hustler. And I know people pretty well, just like I didn't know Paul Krasner before, Emanuel Zucina. But I thought I knew the sincerity, and he wanted the Rebel, and he wanted a good thing. Now, the fact that Timothy Leary and all these people are getting on it, or even G. Gordon Liddy, how can Mae Brussel write for something with her name there with G. Gordon Liddy? Do you quit and walk away, or do you wait till Liddy runs out of stories and expose them simultaneously? But imagine a man who spent 6 years in jail for the Watergate crimes, 5 or 6 years, who brags about he's in the archives with Robert Mardian of the Justice Department studying Nazis and Gestapo, who's part of the pro-German entourage, G. Gordon Liddy, at the home of Larry Flynt at the table while this person is supposed to tell about who killed one of these people named in the ad. What security does anybody have? Liddy tells you how he would have gladly have killed Jack Anderson by putting a chemical on his sleeve. What guarantee this isn't happening to Larry Flynt now? He invited the press into his house, and then he acts silly and sends them home, and they were furious in L.A. Everything he's doing is totally irresponsible. When you have an investment and you've made that much, it doesn't seem possible that you go crazy and give it all away in a month and a half and really go nuts. So what you're seeing now is the Howard Hughes treatment of Larry Flynt, where they took Howard and made him visible when he was began drugging him, feeding him crazy food, making him visibly crazy, then taking away his TWA, his tool company, his movie studios, and absolutely destroying the man. So much for that. That is the American tragedy. I've done parts of this before. I'll do parts of this again. How do you think Mae Brussel feels knowing that these people reach out to help you and then you see them destroyed in front of you? It was a hard week, a hard 2 weeks. It's hard to evaluate the turmoil. If you are ever centered, it comes in handy. If you have other ways of compensating or understanding these tragedies and you hold your own, and I share them with you, they are tragedies, and you have to pull all your strength and analyze it and do the best you can and realize what you're opposing. You can oppose it hypothetically and talk about these various rats and vermin on the air, but when they march in and take over so swiftly, what do you expect? Is this any different than the Soviet Union and if the KGB comes in and you're writing about the KGB? It's identical, and maybe it's worse, but this is the American tragedy. There yet has to be a play. There's The Death of a Salesman or some of these great plays, and I like dramas. Maybe there's a play about destroying a person who wants to tell the truth, because there aren't, can't think of any Broadway show or play drama that I know of the MK Ultra in use, the Candy Jones in operation, the Operation Mind Control, the brain manipulators, the terminal man, all in front of you. And the important thing is that you see it, that you know that this is happening. This wasn't what the intent was 6 weeks ago. This is what it has become, and it can only end in a total destruction that began like Dr. Olson when he went to the government compound for a weekend and then goes flying out a window. Now on to some other subjects. The New York Post, October 14th, has a story. A witness to the Vicky Morgan sex tape is hiding in fear of her killer. A lawyer in the Vicky Morgan case claims that there was somebody that killed Vicky Morgan that was hiding in the closet, that it wasn't Marvin Pancos, that he did not have fingerprints on the bat. I mentioned that before, and that this person is afraid of their life and is hiding, that she was beaten to death and that there was another person in the closet, and that Pancos is going to take the rap for the actual killer. There were no fingerprints on Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle, and we do use people, mind control them, and Mr. Pancos was in a mental hospital, and so was Vicky Morgan, and Alfred Bloomingdale used to meet them there, and if this man was in the closet, I'm sure he'll get away, and I'm sure that they'll never find him because they were never meant to find him, and they'll keep the line on Marvin Pancos. The Vicky Morgan story will destroy the people who touch it, and one of those people is Larry Flynt, who bought the movie of that. Now, a man that whose name I've used on the air many times, I'm going to switch now to the Los Angeles Police Department for the remaining of the time, Lewis Tackwood, all of a sudden surfaced and was arrested as a suspect in a scheme in Los Angeles just several weeks ago. Now, in the outline of the article, it's on the stand now, I had included the part of Lewis Tackwood in the story, the Los Angeles Police Department, it's in the February Hustler, the facts behind a sinister connection. And I have in their chronology the police department leading up to the police intelligence systems and the computers that went to Western Goals, to the Defense Department and the Mafia, and to Larry McDonald. And I have in this article, 1970, the Los Angeles Police Chief Edward Davis, a staunch conservative, created the Public Disorders Intelligence Division, the PDID. 5 years earlier, he formed the Criminal Conspiracy Section, the CCS. In 1971, Lewis Tackwood, the agent provocateur for the LAPD, exposed police involvement in dirty tricks and murderous things in the Washington Post, LA Times, October 18, 1971. Tackwood identified the White House plumbers Martin and White, linking the Pentagon to the Los Angeles Police Department, to E. Howard Hunt, to James McCord, both implicated in the Watergate break-in. Now, this is in the Hustler this month, and it was in the Hustler offices. It went to press this month, but it's been down there since the end of September, the 1st of October. And November the 11th, Jerry Cohn of the LA Times writes that Lewis Tackwood was arrested, one of three men accused of bilking a local attorney out of thousands of dollars in an auto scam. And all of a sudden, Tackwood's name is over at Hustler Magazine, and he's pulled in by the police department. But it goes on to detail in 1983, he's Lewis Tackwood, whose allegations about purported dirty deeds and even murderous acts by the police department's criminal conspiracy section and special investigation section never were confirmed, but they never were investigated. That's the important thing. Tackwood, however, captured a great deal of news media attention with his statements and later toured college campuses and lectured, where he claimed he was an agent provocateur for the LAPD. And it tells about the criminal conspiracy section being in Marin County Courthouse and the fatal San Quentin prison escape of political activist George Jackson. I'm surprised in 1983 that the LA Times had so much material. He's now been arrested for working with an attorney on a swindle with the involving various people who said they were hurt in accidents and they were victims and they would get money for their clients, and they actually hadn't been hurt. Another story in the Los Angeles Herald, con men bilk lawyers in accidents, and they would produce people who said that they were hurt in accidents. And all of a sudden, after all these years, Lewis Tackwood's name didn't come out, and Tackwood's arrested about 2 or 3 weeks just before the Hustler comes out, but his name is in the office there early. Now, the Los Angeles Police Department defense is heating up. That is the case of the 131 plaintiffs against the LAPD for illegally wiretapping, bugging, and disclaiming the careers or the fame of different people by the police department. And in the middle of it, as of last year in May, it turned out that the agents were working with Larry McDonald of Western Goals. Now, I have 200 or 300 articles on the LAPD, and as I say, I may put them in the next Rebel, if there is a Rebel. But this week, just going backwards a bit, just November 29th, this week, Mr. Gates, Police Chief Daryl Gates, D-A-R-Y-L, wants to settle it out of court. He's afraid to go to court now. It's been dragging on. It's linked to those computers in Washington, D.C., to the Defense Department. So the L.A. Herald has a story. Gates says he'd accept settling the spy suit out of court. You better believe they would. I mean, they'd get their money worth for the 131 plaintiffs that they gave $1 million each, because there's book material, countersuits, and so forth on this. It says LAPD Chief Gates, after months of insisting on his day in court to vindicate his officers in police spying, yesterday said for the first time that he would accept an out-of-court settlement of the case. Now, this is a story that has been carried in the L.A. Herald and in the L.A. Times only. Hardly any wire service except maybe two stories in the entire year. And he wants it to stop right now. And he's not worried about the vindication so much as he wants the police department quieted up, and he's ready to settle. So if they take a settlement, they're supposed to begin this week, no one in this country will ever get the true story of the kinds of activities that Tackwood was doing for the police department and the victims. 131 people will be paid off to be quiet. Now, there was another article this last week. Gates eases his hard line in the spy suit. He seems less eager for a trial showdown with the American Civil Liberties Union. And as I've said before, the attorneys for the police department are the Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher. That's Ronald Reagan's personal attorney. And most of these papers are when Reagan was governor for 8 years, and when Chief of Police Ed Davis, who's now a California senator, was head of the police department. Another story in the L.A. Herald, ex-PID officer, PDID, says he briefed Gates, that Gates knew about the spying, that he had information, and he's bringing Chief of Police Gates into the story. Robert Loomis had immunity. He was in Vegas, and he worked for the Hughes people, I believe. He, ex-Captain Loomis, now comes in and brings in Chief of Police Gates, so the Gates wants to settle out of court and not have it go. He wants to tell the role that they had in briefing the chief of police on his involvement. Now, in the course of opening up this case, another story, LAPD role in Bradley smear told. A retired Los Angeles police officer says on the eve of the 1973 mayoral election, the department's public disorder intelligence division provided incumbent Mayor Sam Uriarte with information to smear Tom Bradley. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the detective doing the political work in Los Angeles and in Washington is Detective Ronald Farwell, F-A-R-W-E-L-L, who was Lewis Tackwood's superior, who engineered the San Quentin shootout, the Marin County shootout where the judge was murdered. It says Farwell retired from the police department last year after 20 years on the force, and at least 13 assigned to the Public Disorder Intelligence Division. So Farwell had 13 years on that division, and I might have mentioned it before, but in his deposition, he said that he had been telephonically in touch with Donald DeFries of the SLA just an hour before DeFries was murdered. And we killed, I'll bring back again my story, and also maybe in the Rebel, the SLA is the CIA, and Farwell and the LAPD. He worked during the election years with a group headed by Chief of Police Ed Davis, see our California Senator Ed Davis, and Daryl Gates, who's in there now, and Farwell, have worked together for 20 years, and I had the chronology of the police department in the article on Larry McDonald and Western Goals. Farwell searched through the department arrest records from 1967 and went back to the Black Panther Party and his work with various officials in the police department and with the mayors, trying to put in Mayor Uriarte. Uriarte was instrumental the night that Sirhan was in the Ambassador Hotel when Robert Kennedy was shot by getting on the TV and saying a communist shot Robert Kennedy. All this information, all covered up by the LAPD. The important thing not only is these 131 plaintiffs, but this is where Robert Kennedy was murdered. A lot of people are surprised on the anniversary of John Kennedy's death that John Glenn said that he was in Dallas when Kennedy was killed. Did you know he was in the Ambassador Hotel when Robert Kennedy was killed? He was telling students in Los Angeles about that. Now, another story, there was another follow-up on how he tried to smear Bradley and his various political assignments. Farwell was a very political person who broke Huey Newton, the Black Panther Party, the United Prisoners Union, got George Jackson murdered, the judge killed to blame Angela Davis, and the trials that went on, the San Quentin Six, the Soledad Brothers, they were all involved in that. The police reports also came out with an agent that worked for Tom Hayden that spied on him that figures in the ACLU suit, and somebody that they didn't think was political who was snitching on them and getting their papers. Another story from the LA Times, October the 30th, court use of officer interviews okayed. The court had a big struggle, the American Civil Liberties Union, of letting these interviews become public, and Paul Hoffman of the ACLU said that the ruling was a victory on most major points, and the judge has made the ruling clear that they can reveal a lot of the material that they have accumulated, and transcripts of the pretrial motions can be revealed. As I say, this is substance for books and studies for years to come. Another story, the LAPD must give their spy tapes and transcripts to the ACLU. The judge ordered that they had to surrender over to them their private tapes and their transcripts of their internal investigations. That's why I read to you the punchline first about Daryl Gates wanting to settle out of court, because if it goes to court, it becomes public information. It's like the lawsuit up here when Charles Wyman was suing Paul Krasner and Melvin Belli was his attorney, and the allegations of the link of Navy intelligence and the government intelligence agencies to people allegedly that were hippies on the peninsula that had tentacles into the intelligence system. And it was a $60 million lawsuit. And I gave a deposition on that, and I've referred to this on the air before. And the court reporter here in Monterey, she lives in Pacific Grove, said it was the most interesting thing she ever heard. And what they did was they closed it out of court, and it never went to trial. Melvin Belli said, I'd like to see Mae Brussel in court. And that never went to trial. So the tapes and the transcripts had to be turned over to the Civil Liberties Union. And another story in the LA Times, the way was clear for them to be turned over. And some of this would be made public. Some of the dirty tricks that I've been talking about continuously on the air for 13 years about the California violences, Reagan as a governor, the COINTEL program, and long before the COINTEL, when Nixon was in, the harassment of the Venceremos, the farm workers, the people wanting to help their conditions in prison, the people opposing the police repressions. All of this would come true before your eyes, but now Gates wants to settle out of court, and he may do it, and no one in the country hardly knows what's going on. That's why I thought it took priority to write maybe in the next Rebel about the LAPD. Well, our time is up, so I'll be back with you next week, if Larry Flynt is traveling around in different costumes and so forth. Don't call me at the house. I'm not responsible for it. And once a week, I'll update you on what's going on. It's hard enough to go through all this, and I can't do an hour-by-hour description. That's for him and them. This is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.